Well, here we are, 7 years in Deeper Weekend. Tonight, we're going to go into Encounter, or what do we call this? Encounter, yeah. Because we need to get in touch with the Holy Spirit, amen? How many of you know that God still does pretty amazing things? How many of you know that He only does amazing things when you need Him to do amazing things? So I'm praying right now that we would begin to identify the fact that we have a need, because He doesn't fill an already saturated vessel. You look in His Word, He visits the hurting, the brokenhearted, the weary, those that need rest. He gives comfort to those that are worried. He brings grace to those who know that they need grace. He brings healing to those that know that they're hurting. So I pray tonight that as we discuss two or three stories in the Bible, that we'll realize that God visits those who are humble and desperate and willing and expectant. And I believe He'll do big things. He'll do great things for us. The Word says that He'll do great and mighty things that thou knowest not, in the old King James. Call unto me, and I will show thee, and I will do, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee, and I will do great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So, anyway, that's a little commercial for tonight. Sometimes you have to do that because it gets challenging to come back Sunday night. How many of you know that it's a challenge sometimes just to come back? So here's the deal. If you don't really need a miracle, you don't really want to get in touch with the Lord, stay home. I've been doing this for 33 years. I don't need a crowd. I really don't. I mean, I'll just preach to me. But if we want to really have a convocation, I'm hoping, I'm believing, not just for Family Church, but just for our world, our nation right now. It's superheated, and there's nothing but noise out there. We need a move of God. We need a move of God in our life, in our churches, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our places of business. We need a move of God. And, you know, it's nice when revival happens to 3,000 people. But revival doesn't happen to 3,000 people until it happens to one. So I'm just praying that there'll be a move of the Spirit tonight, and pray that your hearts are expectant. I'd like to talk to you today as a friend of the house. Can I do that? How many of you have ever heard me speak here before? Okay, so the rest of you, I'm sorry. Because I'm going to assume friendship today. There's a difference between a friend of the house and a guest in the room. Friend of the house can kind of get in your business a little bit, or allows the Holy Spirit to sort of churn things up. A guest, you know, I mean, just think about the people that come to your house. They don't go in your refrigerator. Guests just come in. You invite them in. You offer them something to drink. Everybody plays nice. And then when they leave, you talk about them. They talk about you. A friend is has a little deeper relationship. So I'm going to assume relationship just a little bit today. Because for the last 7 years, we've been doing a Deeper Weekend. And it's a focus on the involvement of the Holy Spirit in some way in our lives. And it's an invitation to renew ourselves in the power of the Spirit of God. What we're going to do today is we're going to focus on the word deeper. Because I believe that our world, our Christianity itself, needs to hear the word deeper. The root systems need to go further down. You know, I grew up in West Texas and get a good old southwest wind, and it would come through, and those trees don't get much water, and there's a reason why they don't get much water. It's because the root system needs to go as far down as possible to find a water source, so that when the wind and the aridness and the semi-desert that blows in, they're rooted. They can handle the wind. We moved up to the Northwest, and the trees are 150, 200 feet in the air. And we got a root system about 6 inches deep. I remember the first time that we were there, our first year, our kids came home from school and said, "We're not going to school tomorrow. There's been a wind delay." A high wind warning. Yeah, a wind warning. And I said, "That's ridiculous." That's ridiculous. With a high wind warning, I grew up with 40-mile-an-hour wind. That's how you learn to play golf and tennis and everything else. It's just what it is. Everybody knows that, right? And so I called the school, and I said, my kids are lying to me, and I need you guys to help me out. They said that we're not going to school tomorrow because there's a high wind warning. And they said, that's true, because it rains so much here, the root system doesn't go very far. It doesn't go very deep. And these 150-foot trees will just topple over. They'll hit your house. They'll hit your car. They'll cover the street. So we're not going to go to school because we know the wind's going to get up tomorrow. And it gives me a real picture that we can grow really tall. We can have this big presence. You know, sometimes the larger churches even can say, wow, look at that church. They must be really doing some really great things. They've got 7, 8, 10,000 people there. But you know what? If they're not rooted and deep in the Holy Spirit, a little bit of wind comes by and they topple. Now, you can be in a small church, though, middle-sized church, because a believer has the temptation right now in this society that we live in to sort of run a mile wide and an inch deep in their faith. Lots to do about busyness. And we've raised our four children now. They're all grown and married and have grandkids. That's God's blessing for you not killing your own kids. He gives you grandkids. And we're very blessed, but there were times that we would have to, you know, like most people do, you have to juggle schedules. There was a time when they were all teenagers, and we had 6 automobiles. That's 6 insurance coverages in our driveway. And we would just navigate. One went to this school. The other one was in college. This one was going here. This one was going here. We had to get our oldest, Tasha, we'd have to kind of enlist her as one of the parents so that we had the other 3 going different places that she could sort of represent us. And it was hard to put church in that, and it was hard to do this. And we went through that whole season of our kids. You know, they didn't want to go to their youth group. Their youth group is boring. I said, you could go to any youth group you want to. You can go to as many as you want to, but you're going to yours. Because we're parents. That's what we're supposed to do. The idea was not just showing up and taking attendance, but it was giving them opportunity to continue to grow deeper. Train up a child the way they should go, and as they grow old, they will not depart from it. And so there's this challenge to go shallow, and we kind of want to have a Facebook relationship with God. You know, take a couple of snapshots on our good days, send on up to heaven, and say, hey, it's all good down here. We're good. It's good. When the reality is many of us that we come in to the fellowship or we leave, and there's erosion, there's challenge, there's difficulty. And so you face this weekend called deeper, and if we're not careful, what we do is we just try to tolerate it. We don't want to celebrate it, we just want to tolerate it, because something like this can actually get in your way if God is really speaking something stronger and more deliberate to you. The Bible talks about sower and the seed in Mark and how the seed falls on stony ground, hard ground, and stony ground, and thorny ground, and begins, I think the most frustrating ground is the thorny ground, because the seed takes root, the plant grows, but there's never any fruit because the cares of the world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes choke out that. So deeper is about us being able to produce fruit, and it said some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. The end times in Timothy writes, we will be like this. Society will be a perilous times. It'll be clouds without rain that will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. There'll be a lot of words, but there won't be any impetus. There won't be any power within those words. Now, don't raise your hand on this, but how many of us sometimes really feel frustrated in our faith? I mean, I look at what's going on right now in our society, and sometimes I don't have words to even say. And then to say, well, you know, let's just pray. You almost think, well, how can that really help? This is an onslaught of relationship to the things of God right now. And the only way that we're going to survive that is to go deeper. To go deeper in the Spirit of God. To invite the Holy Spirit into our lives on a regular basis. To invite the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, the provider and revealer into our everyday lives. Does that make sense? So if I were to give a little spiritual checkup, are you closer to the Lord today, this year, than you were last year? This is the friend part of my opening. Are we closer to God today? You guys, some of you, many of you saw me this time last year. If you were to just take a real snapshot of where you were last year and where you are this year, are you closer to the things of God? Is there more faith in your life? Do you feel His grace in a stronger way? Are you communicating more? Is there a stronger prayer life in your life right now? Or have we sort of moved away? Has life's struggle sort of numbed us and caused some erosion and we find ourselves taking a step back instead of a step forward or a step in? Just an honest question. So if the answer is, yeah, if I'm going to be honest, I'm a little further away from God, then my next question would be, and not any better than the first one, who moved? You know, who moved? I know that Lynn and I, in our life of 36 years, there's been this ongoing movement of life. We've had 6 forever jobs in ministry. We always take a job in ministry, always take a position in ministry, like it's the thing that we're going to do forever. I don't think you should go to a church if you don't think you can, if you can die there. I think that's God's way of, and when He wants you to move, He'll let you know. And in that process, we have found ourselves in transition and struggles and difficulty, both relationally and financially and sometimes just within the body itself. And we've had some dry moments. We've had to come back together. There was a moment we were up in the Northwest. We spent all summer drinking chocolate shakes and eating Walla Walla onion rings. And the first couple of weeks, it was so that we could complain on how hard it was. It was supposed to be easier. We were obeying God. And frankly, this was just too hard. And so you go through a few of those weeks. You know, let me just tell you this. God's big enough, He can handle a complaint. We don't want to be so fake that we go, it's always going to be fine. I'm okay. It's always going to be wonderful. As we began to pray again and start reading the Word, and we found ourselves engaging more into the Spirit of God. So you're going to have those moments that you need a spiritual checkup. I'm just asking you this morning during Deeper Weekend, how you doing? The whole idea of spiritual growth, the whole idea of deeper is about growing spiritually, right? Hopefully that we know more today, or that we're closer to the things of God today than we were yesterday. The idea is that somehow we are being proved out in our life. At some point in time, don't we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? We don't want to be like Paul, or we don't want to be like Paul's friends when Paul had to write, everyone has forsaken me save Luke. Demas has left me for the world. How many of us know someone, or maybe we're on that verge ourselves, of sort of just checking out? We started a race. We were running the race. We were running the race with endurance, and something got us off our game, a relationship, a job deal, a problem in the family, an issue in the family. Something got us off track, and we began to focus on life and its circumstances, and we just forgot to grow. When the fact is that maybe the issue we were going through, or that we're going through, is that very thing, very next thing that takes us to the next level in the things of God. Paul says we go from glory to glory. But it doesn't always mean it's going to be glorious. How many of you know that? So the whole idea of spiritual growth is found in this deeper experience. It's provided through the relationship. What I want you to know is when Jesus Christ died and He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came to this earth, that everything happens up close and personal. I have a personal, intimate, eternal relationship to Jesus Christ. Jesus, God the Father, does not have grandsons and granddaughters. I do, but God doesn't. He has sons and daughters. For us to begin a process of faith, we must come to Jesus Christ by ourselves. It has to be personal. It has to be intimate. There has to be a connection. It has to be eternal. For us to continue to move, we have a personal, intimate, eternal relationship to Jesus Christ. He said, and I'll read some of this at some point in time, maybe you know, get out of this introduction. He said in John chapter 7:37, that we should thirst. On the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But he spoke this concerning the Spirit, whom those believe in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. When Jesus was glorified, the Holy Spirit ascended on the earth, Acts chapter 2. And from that moment, we have the ability to have a personal relationship with God the Father through the Holy Spirit. We pray to God the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians, right? Many of us have taken the third part of the Trinity and we've sidelined them because we don't understand it so much. We kind of get God the Father, the sovereignty of God, right? Come on, anybody help me? Help me. I mean, I could go a long time without an amen. If you give me an amen, I might shorten this thing up a little bit. We understand. Thank you. See, there's somebody who's now motivated properly. God the Father is understandable. The creator of the universe, the sustainer of all life, the creator of all life. God the Father, sovereign. God the Son, we understand as Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and what he's done for us and leading a sinless life and going to the cross and the miracles that he performed and the atoning work at the cross that he did and ascension upon to the mercy seat of God the Father and atoning our life and having renewal in him and coming to Jesus Christ. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. So we sort of get that. And then the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 was given to all flesh, was poured out. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals eternal relationship to us now. Many of us, maybe not in this room, have put the Holy Spirit here on the sideline because we really don't understand that all that Holy Spirit stuff. A deeper walk requires an invitation of the Holy Spirit into our life. The Holy Spirit is not a thing, it's a person, part of the Trinity. You look through all the book of John, Jesus is trying to set us up for this whole idea that it's time for him to go, and when he leaves, he's going to send the helper, he's going to send the advocate, he's going to send the paraclete, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and it will be to our advantage. It says in John chapter 16, it said, it'll be to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of righteousness because I go to the Father, and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say. Jesus is trying to get it all in. And then he says these words. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the key to a deeper spiritual life. Peter says, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. And by doing these things, you will never stumble. Did you just hear that? That is an ironclad guarantee that we can finish the race. Now, how we add to our faith virtue, knowledge, knowledge self-control is not to get smarter. I've got 32 Bibles already at my house. I've got, I don't know, probably 120 translations on my iPad. Getting smarter is not what I need. Adding to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control godliness, godliness brotherly kindness. Adding to your faith requires deepening a relationship to the Holy Spirit. Who is the one that's going to lead us to add to our faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control? It will not be our flesh, folks. Our flesh will not add to your faith. Your flesh is trying to destroy your faith. The enemy is trying to destroy your heart and your faith. As soon as we step into the line of a believer, at that moment the enemy gets busy about trying to destroy our life. Listen, he doesn't need to destroy your life without Jesus Christ in your life because you and I are doing a good job without him. He's not omniscient, he's not omnipotent, he can't be everywhere at all times. So he's got a life that's not following Christ, he doesn't need to bother that life too much. The moment you step in and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, boom, all of hell has to get alert too. Because there's nothing more scary to the enemy than a blood-bought, redeemed son or daughter of the Most High. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hey, don't get in my way right now. I'm preaching. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You are not the tail, but you are the head. And greater things will you do when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall cast out demons. You shall heal the sick. You shall bring salvation to the lost. So the enemy needs to get real busy with you. So adding to your faith is not the enemy's goal. Adding to your faith is when the Holy Spirit shows up. He says, let me help you mature your faith. Let's add some virtue to it. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to have some opportunities where you're going to need to walk in some virtue. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I don't think my feet hit the ground for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Like I first got saved, felt the Holy Spirit. I mean, everything was, all light was green. I didn't even stop for traffic lights. It was a wonderful thing. It's like you were in this little faith bubble. I mean, just believe God for anything, and it was just happening. And then life begins to come in. And you have to add virtue. You know, virtue is that sense of integrity and honesty. Virtue is when you think God's going to do this and he does this, and you say, you know what, I still trust in the Lord. And then add knowledge to that. Knowledge is not wisdom up here. Knowledge is wisdom in the heart. Knowledge is understanding the work of the Holy Spirit. So we add these things, the spiritual growth that's taking over in our life. It's adding to the process of faith, knowledge, virtue, self-control. It's a deepening of life. Lynn and I have been married for 36 years, and to say that at the time that we got married that we knew each other would be so close to not being right. I mean, it couldn't be further from the truth. Now, if you were to ask us back when we were in our 20s, we would have told you, we're the two smartest people in the world. We got this down. We're smart. We love each other. We don't need a budget. We're smart people. We got it together. You know, so what two smart people do that think they've got it all together, they start adding some kids to it because obviously we're smart. We didn't read any parent books. You don't need to know that stuff. I mean, Dobson's okay, but he didn't know our kid. And it's through those experiences that you begin to really grow. It's through those times when a guy's still talking and he thinks she's still listening. That you begin to grow. It's those moments when she would ask a question and you would give an answer and she didn't really want an answer. And it took this Neanderthal brain of mine about 8 or 9 times to figure that out. She's not wanting an answer. She just wants me to listen. You grow in your relationship. After 36 years, we still don't have it all together, but we started asking the right questions a few years ago. In our relationship, I mean, is deeper, better, stronger today than it's ever been because we've given it the time, the talent, and the treasure that it deserves. Deeper happens when we get involved and we allow the Holy Spirit to get involved in our life in an up-close and personal way. If we refuse the Holy Spirit's involvement in our life, here's what we get. We get the perpetual cycle of static growth. You know what static growth is? It's activity without real dynamic movement. It just stretches things further out. I'll give you an example. I grew up adopted. Through that, received a kind of rejection in my own heart. In that, decided that bitterness and anger would be my friend. Got married thinking that Linda would fix that. And realized that nobody could fix that. So what I did was just make somebody else miserable with my misery. You understand where I'm at? So we'd talk about it, and I would look at her and say, I really want to get better. And we'd go to church every other week or so. We didn't want to get crazy, you know what I mean? We go to Sunday school, we get around people, they look like they were happy. I'd leave going, man, everybody looks like they're happy because I know I'm not happy. I don't know what they got. I don't want God. This is not going to be easy. And then there'd be times when you'd just go, Lord, please change me. And you'd have one of those moments. You'd come to the front, you know, and you'd go for the change, and you'd fill out the card. You'd do all the right steps. And then all of a sudden, by Wednesday or Thursday of that week, here it would come. And so we'd talk about it a little bit more. And so maybe it wouldn't just be 3 or 4 days that I could go without having a blow up. It'd be a whole week. Growth, baby, growth. And then every now and then we might even go 2 weeks. And then sure enough, somebody would run out in front of me in traffic, cut me off, and I'd lose it all. Or I'd play racquetball, somebody would cheat, and I'd lose it all. Or they'd hit me with a ball, I'd lose it all. You know, there comes a time when it doesn't take much because you've been holding it in. Because you haven't been growing, you've just been trying to hold on. Without the Holy Spirit's help, all we have is a perpetual cycle of activity without real growth. When I came to Jesus Christ, I thought life was going to be okay. And it made me new, but it didn't change me like I really needed to be changed. I wished, family, that when we come to Christ, at that moment, we didn't have any more problems. Boy, then wouldn't that be easy preaching? I'd be preaching to the already convinced. We'd all just be doing a Barney dance. It'd be great. Now, you know that when you come to Christ, you are going to heaven. There is a justification of spirit, but there's this whole thing in your soul that's still being worked out and you're being sanctified. It is when I came down and I surrendered and I said, I can't do this any longer. Lynn and I were on the verge of separation, maybe divorce. I don't want to over-glamorize it, but I don't want to undersell it either. It was a tough spot. I had nowhere else to go. Two of us, we were both believers, but just a miserable wreck because I'd let anger just encompass my life. I thought I was a pretty good guy. Come down the front, willingly just opened my heart up, and I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I don't know what else to do. And I had a man lay his hands on me and one of our elders, and he prayed for me, and he said, just receive the love of the Father and receive the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what all that meant. I just know that something began to happen. And all this anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment just began to be pulled out of my head. Almost like I was like a carafe, you know. You just unscrew it, just pulling all this stuff out. Snot balls, I mean. The best example I have is just having liquid gold love just being poured on the back inside where all that stuff had gone in, and he kind of twisted me back on. Said, go get them. I left. I was changed. There was a true deliverance. Now, I have had the spirit of frustration from time to time since then. To say that I'm a happy-go-lucky all the time guy is not, is the far from the truth. Let me just tell you this, though. I've never been angry again, ever. I can only say it before the Lord. I've been free of anger. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. How did that happen? We were introduced to the third person of the Trinity. We were introduced to the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to reveal God's will to your life. He's going to reveal God's goodness. He's going to reveal God's glory. He's going to animate the cross, the burial, the resurrection, Christ coming again. All that becomes reality. All of a sudden, the Bible makes sense. And you want to say, look, we're going to do that. How did we grow after we introduced ourselves to the Holy Spirit? We'd read the Bible, and we would do exactly what it said. It said to give. We didn't want to give. We didn't think we had enough money to give. Who thinks they've really got enough money to give it away? You know what? If you've got enough money to give it away, let's talk together a little bit later. No, but we read it, and we began to be obedient givers, obedient tithers, because it said it in the Word. The Holy Spirit revealed God's Word to us in such a way as it changed our behavior and our actions. He led us into the full truth. The Holy Spirit will always tell you the truth, even though the flesh will try to discount it and justify it. The Holy Spirit will always tell you the truth. So let me wrap this up, because I want to pray through an invitation. My hope is that this morning we'll invite the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, into our life and let Him do whatever He needs to do and however He needs to do it. And I know as soon as I say that, there could be this battle that's going on in the inside. I'm just not sure about that. The way we deepen a relationship, any relationship, but a relationship with the Holy Spirit, is we enter into fellowship. What is the word fellowship? Fellowship simply means we begin to have some things in common. J.R. and I, Pastor J.R. and I, have been friends. We've been ministry partners. We've played golf together. We've raised each other's kids. I knew Brittany when she was in diapers. John Michael, when John Michael didn't have any facial hair. We've done life together. We know each other. We know Sylvia, and we know JR. There is relationship, and we grow in that. There's fellowship. We have some things in common. What brought us together was we wanted to reach people for Christ. My son-in-law, he's a great guy, and he loves sports, and most of his relationships are around things that aren't going to matter. We don't know who won whatever, whenever. He does. That's his fellowship. Some of us want to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, but we want to have it with the things that are really important to us. The Holy Spirit wants to have fellowship with you, and He wants to tell you how good God is and how powerful He is and how much He loves you and what kind of a son and daughter He is to you. And there's no condemnation. The Holy Spirit wants to walk in fellowship. He wants to be your advocate. He wants to be your attorney and your lawyer. When the enemy comes in, and he will come in, when he comes in and tries to tell you who you're not in Christ, the Holy Spirit is there going, whoa, time out. Let me tell you who you really are. Let me tell you that you're not condemned. Let me tell you that there's not judgment in your life. Let me tell you that there's not the spirit of resentment on you. Let me tell you that you can forgive and you can walk in wholeness and you can walk healed in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit says that God is glorified in your life even through trials and tribulations and stressed times. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. He fellowships with you and He tells you what's important to you. And He tells you what's important to God. And lastly, the Holy Spirit in His relationship will always be truthful. Church, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us have been in relationships that somebody wasn't telling the truth? Yeah. Somebody wasn't telling the truth. The Holy Spirit will never lie to you. He reveals God's will to our lives. You know, the Bible says that we can't serve God and we can't serve mammon. Mammon is the worldly system. It's not just money. It's the worldly system. Mammon tells you that you should crawl your way to the top. You should fight your way to the top. Mammon says you should get yours first and then, you know, give something away later or burn it. Mammon says take care of you first. Mammon says the world system. Mammon says that God is somewhere important in your life, but He's not the preeminent importance of your life. God's Word says that God is the most important person in your life, that He is preeminent, He is sovereign, He is various, He is immutable. You can't serve God's way and mammon's way at the same time. In fact, the Bible says you cannot do it. It's an impossibility. So when the flesh comes in, listen, when the flesh comes in and tries to determine your spiritual life, it's a lie. The enemy will come in and say, see, you ought to curse God and die because it's not working out the way you thought it was going to work out. It's a straw man's attack is what it is. As he sets up circumstances, then he tries to explain what these circumstances really mean. And without the Holy Spirit's interruption of that conversation with the truth, we'll start believing the lie. Somehow God doesn't love us like He loves everybody else. Somehow we're second-class citizens in the kingdom. Somehow it's not going to work out for us. It's going to go on by. How many of us have allowed our faith dwindle simply because we couldn't relate to the truth of the Holy Spirit? You know what else He'll tell you? Now, this is the good part. You ready? Hang on. Grab both sides of that seat. I'll also tell you where you need to get it right. It's okay. I know we live in a world now that everybody gets a trophy, a participation award. And we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We have to use our words very carefully and keep them all nice and flowery. There will be moments, though, that the truth will set you free, but it may make you a little bit miserable in the process. There are moments the Holy Spirit's truth will be, you know what? You're wrong. That's sin. That does not glorify God. And the discussion will be, the flesh will come in and say, but you know what? I do most of this for God. And the Spirit will say, we're not surrendering most, we're surrendering all. The growth of life happens under the Spirit when we give it all to Him. And the folks, without getting too harsh, if He can't be Lord of all, He can't be Lord at all. So we have to surrender everything to Him. He will tell us the truth. I'll finish with this story. We were in Bible school, literally didn't have enough money to pay attention. Two kids, diapers. Our date night was to go to the grocery store and shop like we had all the money in the world. So I'd take a calculator and we'd go down every aisle and we'd get, you know, the Cheetos, the good sugar stuff and the cereal, forget hamburger meat, we're going steak. You know, we'd just do the whole thing and we'd put it all up and I'd say, nope, that's about $350 too much. And so we'd start putting it back and I would start doing the calculation and it would always lead us back to diapers and peanut butter. That's what it did. I mean, it was just, so I mean, to say that we were broke is an understatement. We were just broke. I mean, you just walk around with no money in your pocket. And I'd had a business dealing with a guy in our church that left me hanging. There's just no way around it. Totally left me holding the bag. I ate a lot of money. So we went to him, like you're supposed to. The word says, if you have an offense or you feel offended, then go to that person, work it out, Matthew 18, all that. Trying to be good spiritual people in Bible school, you ought to try to follow the Bible. And in his smugness, he basically said, what are you going to do about it? Even though, you're right, so what? So we said, hey, we go to church together. Come on, let's be brothers in this. You know, I wanted to compel him to do the right thing. And, you know, I brought Linda in. And I don't think we had two kids at the time. I think we just had one. I think we were pregnant with Cody. Anyway, it's my story. You know, she's going to correct me, so I got to get that on the tape so that we'll... This guy just didn't hear any of it. We're believers, born again, filled with the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, the flesh comes in, and cloaked in a spiritual righteous indignation. You know, I've learned that you can use different words and still feel very fleshly in that. So we were righteously indignated. We weren't angry. We were just indignant. This was wrong. What happened was when we allowed that door of opportunity, of frustration and resentment to come in, that I just began to handcuff this guy emotionally to me. I just walked around with him. He's just a big old 6'3" guy walking around with me. I'd get in the shower and I'd go, man, there's not any room in here. You know, I'd eat breakfast and he was right there having my eggs with me. Before too long, it had blown up that that's all I could see. I'd stopped growing, stopped praying, really. Too miserable to pray. And frankly, if you were to be honest with you, you think God's kind of let you down. It's like, you know, Lord, we're doing our job here. It's like we're going into Bible school here. We're changing our career path. We're doing this for you, and you're kind of letting us down. And so I thought, okay, we've done this for... We got involved in some home groups. We got them involved in our life. We told them our side of the story. That's real spiritual. We want them on our team. Team Rob. Team, let's hate this guy together. And we just weren't going anywhere. We were just high center. So I went in and talked to a mentoring pastor of mine that was part of our assignment. And I just knew that he was going to hear the story and go, you know, Rob, you're right. we're going to go talk to this guy. We're going to straighten him out. We're going to take the elders of the church. I had this all blown up in my mind that the elders were going to go confront him and rebuke him and kind of tell him how he's wrong. And he looked at me and said, you know, I can tell the last few months you've lost your joy. How much does this guy owe you? I told him, and he said, okay, that's what your joy is cost. That's what your joy is worth. You've determined what your joy is worth. You put a number to it. I was hurt, confused, wounded. And all of a sudden when I heard the Holy Spirit say, he's right. You got to let this go. So I went home. Lynn and I prayed. We cried. We realized we were wrong even though we were right. You know how that works, right? I went and I began. Lord said, I want you to go and I want you to ask this guy. I want you to go and talk to him and ask for forgiveness. Oh. Why don't you just ask me? Just give me cancer. I mean, just something. Come on, really. And so I went to him. To his office. Office that, frankly, I'd help him build. Business was pretty successful. He seemed to be doing all right. And I went in and walked past the assistant that used to be work for me and went into his office and asked him to forgive me. And here's the deal. God hadn't been talking to him. That's a bummer. God had been talking to me. The Holy Spirit was dealing with me. I wanted the Holy Spirit to deal with him too. You understand? He didn't even look up. He said, okay, thanks for coming in. I went down the elevator. By the time I got to the first floor, Holy Spirit said, you're not done. You didn't. You took it back. Go back. Go to the elevator. Hit the fifth floor. Up the elevator. Walk through the same person. Look at him and say, look, man, I messed this up. I'm sorry. I'm back again. But please forgive me. I've taken odd in my heart. This time he looked up and said, look, it's not that big a deal. Okay, you're forgiven. Went back down. Got to the car this time. The Holy Spirit said, you're not done. I'm not making this up, huh? Went up, hit the floor again, the fifth floor, walk out, say, walk back through the person, stop, say, look, I got to get this right. I cannot carry you around my life. I cannot do this any longer. I ask for your forgiveness. He stopped, he looked at me, and he said, this is really important to you, isn't it? And it was everything for me to say, yes, you idiot, it's important to me. I released it. I can't tell you the peace. Now, I'm a little slow, guys. The third time, there was a peace that flooded me, and I realized that I could be free. That I could pray for him again, that I could release it, and that my joy of the joy of the Lord had returned to me. I was home, Lynn and I we finished Bible school, and, you know, and we went on. Add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, self-control. Deeper comes when you have the opportunity to do that which the Holy Spirit says to do, regardless of how you feel about it. That moment, you grow deeper. It may make you a little miserable in the process, but we can grow deeper. And here's how we're going to finish this morning. I'm not going to pretend to know where everybody's at. We're just going to have an opportunity where we invite the Holy Spirit into our life. We have the worship team come, and we got a little time. What time do you get out of here? Now? When I'm done? Easy. Easy breezy. Easy. Here's what I'd like to do, if we could do this. John 7, we read that just a minute ago. The Holy Spirit comes when we thirst after Him. My hope is that through these words, through these last few minutes we've had together, is that we develop an appetite for the things of God. Family, I want more of God more than I want more of something else. I'm desperately in need of a fresh touch. As a leader in a society today, there are days that I wake up, I don't know what to say to who anymore. I just need God's wisdom. I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life so that I can pastor people and I can grow in the things of God in a greater way. So we're going to just sing this song of invitation. And I'm just going to give you the freedom. If you want to stand, you can stand. You want to come to the front. And sometimes we need geography. It helps us. If you want to just sit where you're at. But let's just take a moment and build an altar, okay? Let's just build an altar in our own heart. And then when we ask for a relationship, He will be faithful not to give us a rock when we ask for bread. Let's worship Him together.